Little boxes in the archive, little boxes made by Hollinger, little boxes in the archives, little boxes all the same. There's a gray one and a gray one and a gray one and a gray one, and they're all made out of cardboard and they all are acid free.
You are listening to WREK Atlanta, and this is Lost in the Stacks, the Research Library Rock and Roll Radio Show. I'm Charlie Bennett, in the studio with Fred Rasko and Emmy Decker, and despite the fact that the script no longer has a shout-out to who's on the board, I'm going to have to take a moment to say, Josh is on the board.
Welcome back, Josh.
Thank you very much, guys. I managed to turn the A-B button off so that Charlie would be on the mic.
It was fantastic. It was a glorious A-B moment. Welcome. And we're sorry that this is just a one-time thing, but we hope to see you next semester, unless some, I don't know, environmentalism class keeps you from us. Each week on Lost in the Stacks, we pick a theme, we hassle the board operator, and then we use it to create a mix of music and library talk. Whichever you're here for, we hope you dig it.
Our episode today is called The Atlanta Black Archives Alliance. Wendy and Charlie talked with representatives of the Alliance about how they got started, becoming a nonprofit, and their perspectives on the role of archives in the Black Lives Matter movement.
Sounds to me like this show will be a complete archivist takeover.
Oh, boy, howdy, Fred. You got that right.
If you, our listeners, want to join the conversation, the hashtag for the show is LITS381 for Lost in the Stacks Episode 381. Feel free to tweet your thoughts, questions, or favorite items from Atlanta's Black Archives Collection with that hashtag.
Our songs today are about learning the past, paying attention to the present, and getting things done. We got a great conversation in store for you today with some self-described electric ladies. So let's kick things off with Electric Lady by Janelle Monáe.
You did it.
Right here on Lost in the Stacks.
This is Lost in the Stacks, and joining us by phone are Holly Smith, Tiffany Atwater Lee, and Tracy Drummond of the Atlanta Black Archives Alliance. Holly is the college archivist at Spelman College. Tiffany is the public services archivist at the Atlanta University Center Woodruff Library. And Tracy is the archivist for the Southern Labor Archives at Georgia State. Welcome to the show, all of you.
Thank you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
To start us off and sort of set the scene, can each of you tell us what was the moment when you knew you wanted to be an archivist?
So I had graduated from Georgia State, but I grew up near Athens. And I'd gotten a job there. This is Tracy, by the way. And I'd gotten a job at the University of Georgia Library. And I started in government documents. And then I went to reference. I was an assistant in the reference department. And there came a point where I had to do some reference, like help someone access the content in one of the several archives that they have at the University of Georgia Library. And that just sort of, you know, because at that point I was thinking about being a librarian. But once I started to learn more about rare and unique resources, it just opened a whole new world to me. And that's when I knew. And that would have been around 1999.
And I'll say, I'm Tiffany. And I will say the first time I realized I wanted to be an archivist started with a library instruction session around my junior year of undergrad. And in that class, the librarian was a woman I had never seen before. I went to a very small school, so you can kind of see all the faculty and staff. And I just went up to her and asked her, like, I've never seen you before. Who are you? And she said that she was an archivist. And she took me upstairs to the archives and, you know, just was saying, like, oh, we're open for volunteer and things like that and independent study. And I went, started volunteering my first day. It was like maybe 3 hours of sorting photographs, and I absolutely loved it. And that's when I just started doing independent study, volunteering, working with her, and she kind of mentored me as far as what to do after graduation for graduate school.
Can you say why sorting photographs really caught you?
So I went to a small school that in the beginning I did not like. And I think I didn't like it because I didn't know the history behind it. And so with the photographs, I saw the reason why this one building that I hated having class in, because it was raggedy, it was because it was built in the 1900s by the students. It was a part of their curriculum. And so it was like seeing that in front of me and seeing how, you know, oh, that's why this place is a little old and stinky. But it just made me, I don't know, it connected me to, in a way that I hadn't been connected. And I love my alma mater now. And so I think that's really what it was, just seeing the history unfold in front of me.
And this is Holly, and I didn't know anything about archives or library science until after undergrad in a graduate program in history. So I was actually volunteering doing AmeriCorps program with the National Park Service in Boston in 2004. And like most people, having an existential crisis of what do I want to do with my life? I did do a lot of informational interviews. I reached out to people because I was in the Division of Cultural Services. So my supervisor at that time put me in touch with different librarians and archivists in Boston. And I was speaking to the photo archivist at the Boston Athenaeum and just describing an interest. I'd worked in African-American programs in Colonial Williamsburg for years. I had a passion for history, for particularly African-American history, or history I felt wasn't articulated in the history books. And so talking with her, she said, well, you might really be interested in library science or museum studies as programs. And since I was in Boston, Simmons College was right there where I did end up going to the archival management program. So it really was meeting and connecting with good people, exactly like Tiffany and Tracy were saying, and just having people really take the time. And once I learned more about the archival field, and I felt like it was broader for me, for my interest in museum studies. So, and my advisor was Dr. Tawana Worley, who was at Simmons at that time. So it meant a lot to have her mentor me and take a special interest in me and help me find funding and really find my footing.
Before we sort of jump into more about the Alliance, just in maybe like 20 or 30 seconds, can you all describe sort of what you do now as archivists?
So, and this is Holly. So at Spelman in the College Archives, I oversee the daily operation and long-term preservation and setting up policies and procedures for the Spelman College Archives. So the archives here are the official repository for university records. So that includes the president, faculty, students, staff, departments, academic centers. But the Spelman archives are actually administratively part of the Women's Resource and Research Center on campus, which houses the Comparative Women's Studies program. So we're also a special collections focused on documenting women of the African diaspora involved in social justice, Black feminist theory, in a variety of other areas. So we are a small but mighty team of two, myself and my colleague, Cassandra Ware. So we do everything from planning and implementing policy to exhibitions, to reference requests, to researchers. So it's exciting, rich, and varied, and crazy, and wonderful.
I am the public services archivist at the Atlanta University Center Robert Woodruff Library, which is the sole library of the largest consortium of HBCUs. So we are the library for Spelman, Morehouse, the Interdenominational Theological Center, and Clark Atlanta University. And the archives is a department within that library. And in my duties, it's really in charge of reference and patron services. That also includes instruction and programming. So I work a lot with trying to get faculty to incorporate primary source and archival source literacy into their curriculum, as well as programming that helps with our stakeholders. And then, of course, daily reference and reference inquiries and things like that.
At the Southern Labor Archives, we collect the history of work and workers in the South. Often this is through the organizational records of unions and other types of worker organizations, for, say, teachers or nurses. And we also have papers of labor leaders, labor activists. And then we've got some sort of peripheral social change collections that are part of labor. Traditionally, although Georgia State does now have a separate social change collecting area, I do donor relations. I bring in collections. I will travel to work with donors and potential donors on site sometimes and present at their conferences and meetings to help them manage their records. I am in charge of several oral history projects there. The Voices of Labor, which is for state and regional labor leaders, but also for the Great Speckled Bird, and for, we have, you know, seeing some gaps in the collection. It was important for me to start an African Americans in Transportation collection. So I've been lucky enough to go out and do oral histories with air traffic controllers and pilots and FAA administrators who are African American. In the office, I will often work with our digitization unit to come up with different digitization projects, but I also work with the manager of that unit to write grants. To be fair, she does the bulk of the grant writing to get grants so that we can digitize large collections. And we've been successful now getting three grants, and I think we're going to be writing another one soon that I'm very excited about. I reference questions, archival instruction, lots of different things. So I sort of manage this one collecting area, I guess, is a good way to look at what I do.
Wendy, I just realized that I am completely surrounded by archivists. So I need a music set to settle me. We are speaking with Tiffany Atwater Lee, Holly Smith, and Tracy Drummond about the Atlanta Black Archives Alliance. We'll be back with more of these troublemakers after a music set.
File this set under Z688.A55I57.
That was What Came First, the Egg or the Hen by Coco Taylor. And that is the only way I'm going to refer to that dilemma from now on. Never chicken and egg, always egg and the hen. And we started with How I Got Over by Mahalia Jackson. Those were songs about closely examining the past and connecting it to your future. We're talking with Holly Smith, Tiffany Atwater Lee, and Tracy Drummond on today's Lost in the Stacks. And the reason that we're talking to them is the Atlanta Black Archives Alliance. So can you tell me, what is the mission of the Atlanta Black Archives Alliance? What are you trying to do?
Well, the mission of the Atlanta Black Archives Alliance, we are a group of Atlanta-based archivists invested in sharing Atlanta's unique and valuable resources on Black history and culture with as wide an audience as possible. And that is directly from our mission statement, actually, to talk about the Atlanta Black Archives Alliance. There was actually a group that existed several years ago with archivists who had worked in collections related to African-American history, such as our colleagues, Karen Jefferson at the Atlanta University Woodruff Library Archives, Randall Burkett at Emory's Archives, Sharon Robinson at Auburn Avenue Research Library for African-American History and Culture. So there was already this precedent set in interest of archivists that worked at institutions that had African-American related materials and culture, they wanted to meet and connect as a resource for each other. So about 2 years ago, I believe, several of us who again worked at these same institutions who knew of that history, but also wanted to connect with each other at our different repositories, I think really for the goal of number one, so we can know what each repository had. I think there's an assumption that archivists know everything that are through their own doors, but we have large collections. So to know your own collections is a challenge, but to be able to know, for me as the archivist at Spelman, to know what AUC Woodruff has so I can better effectively recommend researchers to those resources as well as know myself, just to be more conversant. We really wanted to start meeting and to just, you know, it started as meeting and connecting just to talk to each other about different news, events, whether it's programs, digitization projects, or things that have been going on. And within the last year, we decided we really wanted to expand our outreach opportunities into perhaps planning public programming, doing sessions at conferences to talk about our different repositories as well as goals we have. So we decided to make it more formal and created the naming with a lot of work and effort from our colleagues and called it the Atlanta Black Archives Alliance.
You touched on this a little bit, but would you say that there's models of other community organizations or archival collectives that have inspired this iteration of the Alliance?
I will say, and this sounds like humble bragging, which is really not, but full disclosure, when I was at, I was previously, prior to coming to Spelman, part of the, I worked at University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, and with several other colleagues who were archivists, librarians, just interested in documenting community history. We, about seven or eight of us, formed an organization called Project Right Now, and Right standing for Research, Interpret, and Gather African-American Historical Treasures. And we were not necessarily serving as representatives of institutions. If we were at institutions, we all just had a passion for preserving African-American history and culture and wanted to create sustainable relationships with different community stakeholders to support the preservation of African-American history. So I say it sounds like humble bragging, but I certainly didn't do it alone. I had excellent colleagues who had experience with, you know, doing exhibitions, oral history. So that was one of the projects that we did for PRNC, or Project Right Now, was to work with a Rosenwald school called the Russell School in Durham, North Carolina, to work with their alumni to document their experiences at the Russell School. And just speaking about my wonderful colleagues at PRNC, I know colleagues in D.C. Started the Metro, forgive me, I can't call the name, but a coalition of archivists to do similar community work in D.C. I believe it's Metro Archivists of D.C. And started by our colleague Stephen Booth there and other archivists in D.C. So a similar thing, wanting to connect with communities on the best ways to work with them to create genuine collaborative relationships, whether it's doing preservation programs or, again, sharing resources. So I think those were two models that certainly came to mind that were really helpful.
Can you talk a little bit about who you hope to reach and sort of in that, what kinds of programming you think will reach different constituents?
Well, one of the projects that will be on the website soon is a roadmap for people who are doing scholarly research, and not just people doing scholarly research, but it'll be there to sort of connect the collections across town. Somebody might be coming in to do research at AUC and not know that Auburn Avenue has a related collection. So we're hoping to make it easier for people who are coming to work on books or papers, theses and dissertations, and even maybe documentaries, to really be able to figure out the landscape of Black collections in Atlanta. But a really important component for us all, I think, is to be able to reach out to the community and to really empower different folks around town to be able to take care of their documents and to tell their stories in their own way, whether it's local African-American churches, community groups, individuals who have family papers. We would like it to be as wide and diverse a group of folks as possible.
And I would also like to add, seeing that a lot of the organization or the institutions that are represented in our organization are academic institutions, including this into the curriculum is very important to us as well. So both K through 12, as well as on the collegiate level. So we have done different workshops for geared toward educators and how to incorporate primary sources into the curriculum. And again, using that roadmap that Tracy spoke about as a launching pad for all the different avenues that educators can use to bring primary sources into the classroom and really have students think critically about history and their place in it.
You are listening to Lost in the Stacks, and we'll talk more with Tracy Drummond, Tiffany Atwater-Lee, and Holly Smith on the left side of the hour. We can go again.
Yeah, go.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm Nori Guthrie.
I'm Scott Carlson.
And we're Indy Preserve.
And you're listening to Lost in the Stacks.
WREK Atlanta.
Well, you're in your little room. And you're working on something good. But if it's really good, you're gonna need a bigger room.
Today's show is called the Atlanta Black Archives Alliance. As Alliance member and Kennesaw State University archivist Joy Ellen Freeman recently wrote in Atlanta Studies, which is a website that one might avail themselves of if they were interested in Atlanta, using archives to understand and contextualize the Black experience is integral to scholarship, activism, and community engagement within Atlanta and its metropolitan areas, including Cobb County. Crediting the development of Atlanta to certain, quote, historic figures or confining it to city limits leaves many stories untold. Local history archives reveal how the work of individuals, communities, and organizations intertwine to document an inclusive history of Atlanta. File this set under E185.96.H332.
Some folks know about it, some.
Action Speaks Louder Than Words by Chocolate Milk. Before that, right down to the real Nitty Gritty by Shirley Ellis. Songs about getting together to get big things done.
We're talking about the Atlanta Black Archives Alliance on Lost in the Stacks, and our guests today are Holly Smith, Tiffany Atwater-Lee, and Tracy Drummond. In the last segment, we were talking a little bit about who you hope to reach and how, you know, obviously there's already amazing, significant collections here in Atlanta that represent different facets of the Black communities here. You hope through the Alliance to collect more documentation that will be preserved within our archival institutions, or is the focus more on sort of archiving for individuals and those collections remain in the community, or is it some mix of both?
I would say it's some mix of both. Because we are an organization made up of different institutions and not necessarily wanting to step on each other's toes, we really make it a point to try and act even as a consulting a little bit for donors. Where does your collection fit best? If you're in the West End community, maybe it needs to go to AUC. If you are, you know, dealing with labor, it needs to go to Georgia State. So kind of acting in that aspect as consultants for donors, but also for communities and those who are wanting to deposit their archives. So I would definitely say it is a mixture of both.
In that consultant role, are you trying also to prep people to preserve records better or to be more mindful of the things that they are creating at this time in preparation for them to be pulled into archives?
Well, so we've had a couple of sessions and workshops. And one of them we held over at Friendship Baptist back in February. And it was just, you know, sort of learn to preserve your family treasures, I think is what we called it. 60 people showed up that day.
Nice.
And yeah, we were completely humbled by the turnout that day. So there's a real need to understand and Holly, you were there with me that day, so let me know if I'm wrong. But it's just people don't really have anything to hook this kind of work to. So what they really are looking for are first steps and the best way to preserve things. So, you know, we talked a little bit about storage and, you know, not necessarily what they should be keeping, because what's important to a family is important to them regardless of, you know, any, you know, larger I guess, ideas about what is important for the historical record, right? But they're really just looking for ways to take care of their stuff better, but also to understand more about oral histories. We've had so many questions about doing oral histories. So it's not like we're sort of, I guess, going in telling people the most important thing to keep, but we're there to listen to them and see what they are interested in keeping and what they have and what they're concerned about and provide feedback based on what they are talking to us about and coming to us with. And we hope to do more of these. And there's even been talk about doing one where we maybe bring in some of our friends in town who are archivists or conservators or maybe have more preservation experience and do kind of a, you know, bring this in and we'll tell you how to take care of it kind of day, because there are so many specific questions. I wonder if I answered your question with that.
You did, absolutely. I mean, and it's nice to hear.
I might have digressed.
No. It's nice to hear the professional concern also about, like, there might be a perfect archival collection that could be created by, we call it citizen archiving on the show, so, you know, created by a non-professional archivist, but then that might not fulfill the role that those collections require in the actual families that are collecting them. And so it's interesting, that tension between you keep records for you, and then eventually they're revealed to archivists. Oh, these are the records I kept. And I always wonder if you all feel like, oh, if you'd only kept this, or if, you know, I can't believe you threw away all your postcards, or my favorite example, which is, we don't need all of your checks.
We don't. First. Or bank statements. I long ago resigned myself, because I've been a professional archivist now since 2004. I long ago resigned myself to the fact that we can't save everything. And the last thing you want to do to people who don't have any formal education or training, who are trying to make sense of what they do have, is to make them feel bad about what they did not or could not keep. That is not professional at all.
And I would, this is Holly, and again, I would back up what Tracy was saying. I think, not to speak for everyone in the group, but knowing them as friends and colleagues, I think we all, like you said, just have a passion about really building equitable, just collaborative relationships, but not to co-opt anyone's history. Exactly like Tiffany and Tracy were saying, it's a mix of both. You know, we want to be able to offer our professional expertise, but with all humility and not conceit about, we know what's important to your community, because particularly thinking about the longstanding African-American communities that have been in Georgia and Atlanta, people have a great sense of what's important. And it's not our duty, I feel, to tell them what's important. It's the idea to build collaborative relationships, because, again, in the really, I think a lot of the powerful questions at that preservation workshop, and then at the later, our first public meeting that we had, to kind of really gather people to, again, talk about the Atlanta Black Archives Alliance and people who've used archives and why it's important, people have an understanding. What they would like to know is best practices. And I think a lot of us have the benefit of working at institutions where we have support, and this is important and part of their purview. So those are a lot of the things we're really interested in, building these collaborative relationships. And exactly as Tiffany was just saying, advising people if they would like to place things in a repository, how they can be empowered, you know, to make the best decision that's right for them and their collection. If they're interested in establishing a community archive or archives at their home, how, you know, some of our thoughts or opinions are to connect them to the right person. So I think I just wanted to emphasize that we all see ourselves in our role, you know, as a resource, but being very mindful about not coming in as institutions, individuals or institutions, with ideas to co-opt the history of these communities, but really build sincere collaborative relationships.
Before we end, curious your thoughts on how you think, if at all, the Black Lives Matter movement has affected lives and archivists, and then you know, individual sense of perhaps the value of the records that they're creating or their families are keeping.
One thing that I really like, and I think when I'm doing instruction for students, is that they can see that this fight is not something new. It has been done in the past, and to be able to empower students to see the relevance of archives from looking in the past to see how to go forward or how to move forward or just strategy is very empowering. And that is one thing, personally, I really enjoy about the work that I do and the work that hopefully ABBA will continue to do, is just kind of show that the importance of documenting your history and how 50 years from now, you never even know, like, you might not even realize how important that will help the next generation in their fight.
And I totally agree with Tiffany on that one, just in terms of with the documenting different Black Lives Matter protests. It's important, I think, to recognize there's histories that are in the archives, and then there are histories that are deliberately and intentionally not part of the written record. So how can we collaboratively work with activists and organizations and community institutions to do so? Or, what is our role? I think, again, and I think of two really powerful projects, the Documenting Ferguson Project at Washington University and the Participatory Archive, People's History of Police Violence in Cleveland. And those are both really like post-custodial models of digital-based community archives where people can upload their own images and remembrances and their advisory archivists, but it really is for the people run by communities. And I think those are really two very powerful models and examples of how, exactly like Tiffany's saying, can to be empowered and impacted, but that we can do what we can collectively to document these stories so they don't get subsumed or forgotten.
We've been speaking today with Tiffany Atwater Lee, Tracy Drummond, and Holly Smith about the Atlanta Black Archives Alliance. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us on.
File this set under PZ8.3.J6334.
That was Stand by Sly and the Family Stone, a song about paying attention to what's happening and telling your story.
Our show today is the Atlanta Black Archives Alliance,
which is the Keenan Research Center of the Atlanta History Center,
the Archives Research Center of the Atlanta University Center,
the Auburn Avenue Research Library of the Atlanta Fulton Public Library System,
the Rose Manuscript Archives and Rare Book Library at Emory University,
the Georgia Archives,
Special Collections and Archives at Georgia State University,
the Archives at Kennesaw State University,
the Spelman College Archives,
and Black families out there in Atlanta saving their scrapbooks, Black moms sharing stories, Black teens downloading their Instagram snapshots, and Black historians creating insight from raw materials in archives boxes. You can find out more about the Alliance on the web at atlantabaa.wordpress.com. All right, roll those credits.
Lost in the Stacks is a collaboration between WREK Atlanta and the Georgia Tech Library, produced by Charlie Bennett, Wendy Hagenmeyer, Fred Rasko, and Emmy Decker.
Josh came back to us and was our engineer today, and the show was sponsored by the Beat the Street for Little Feet race, hosted by Oakhurst Cooperative Preschool, featuring a 5K run, 1 mile fun run, and a tot trot.
Have you ever run a tot trot, Charlie?
Every day of my life, Fred. Find out more at oakhurstcoop.com/beat-the-street.
Legal counsel and ideas for additional archival alliances were provided by the Burris Intellectual Property Law Group in Atlanta, Georgia.
Special thanks to Holly, Tiffany, and Tracy for being on the show, to everyone who has contributed to an archive and didn't include their canceled checks, and thanks, as always, to each and every one of you for listening.
Find us online at lostinthestacks.org, and you can subscribe to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, and plenty of other places we don't even know about.
Next week on Lost in the Stacks, we're digging into our own archive for an encore presentation. I mean, it's a rerun.
Right. Time for our last song today, and we close with what could be the anthem for any effort to preserve the stories of those who have been traditionally marginalized and not included in the mainstream archives of history. This is Mr. Dynamite, Star Time, Soul Brother Number One, the Godfather of Soul. So good, he's got four nicknames. It's James Brown with Say It Loud, I'm Black, I'm Proud. Have a great weekend, everyone.